I've always loved kicking back with a great cigar, especially as the weather cools down. It's the perfect time to relax with friends, maybe watch the game, or just enjoy a fall evening outside. And when it comes to finding the best cigars, Cigars International is my go-to. They've got everything. Whether I'm looking for a classic favorite or trying something new, Cigars International never disappoints. Cigars International is the go-to retailer for all things cigars, with the biggest selection of premium handmade cigars available anywhere. Cigars International also offers unbeatable deals and discounts, making it easy to stock up on your favorites or try something new without breaking the bank. With fast shipping, their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can shop with confidence, knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. They got great relationships with their vendors that help provide great low prices. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International's make it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. It's not just about cigars. Cigars International also offers a wide range of accessories, humidors, and more. Visit CigarsInternational.com today and explore their incredible selection of premium cigars and unbeatable deals. For our listeners only, they are giving you 20% off your order of $50 or more, plus free shipping when you use the code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. That is CigarsInternational.com and use the code DRINKINGBROS at checkout for 20% off $50 or more and free shipping. Whether you're looking for the perfect fall cigar or just want to explore something new, Cigars International has you covered.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to the NFL Week 7 Prediction Show, brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code DRINKINGBROS doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Get off the couch and get into the action today with MyBookie.com. And if you're a day one homie, you can reload, and they got a bunch of bonuses for you. It's a lot like airline miles now. D'Anthony, I'm Silver Elite on MyBookie. Silver Elite. Does that impress you?
I don't know what that means.
It should. It means that I've spent a lot of money there, won a lot, lost a lot, and it all counts, and they kind of tally up the dollars, and then you get some fun stuff. Now, obviously, I had two bets over the weekend. Ohio State and Oregon, lost my ass on that. But then NFL on Monday night, I won all the things, the straight-ups, the teasers, all of it. You saw it in Facebook, and it was fun. One last thing on that fucking call, because everybody keeps talking about it on ESPN and everybody else. They interviewed Nick Saban and Urban Meyer about it. Neither one of them knew that that rule existed. They never practiced it. And Urban Meyer said, I feel like I've been playing checkers now for 35 years. Mm-hmm. And he goes, the move was genius. NCAA announced yesterday afternoon they are going to look into removing it. I don't know how you do that in the middle of the season, though.
I don't think it's legal to do it in the middle of the season.
You're going to have to wait till the end, but watch out for that later on down the road, because these college games have been close, and especially with a 12-team playoff, mm-hmm. there's going to be a lot of close games, and I don't know what you can do to stop that at this point. But for what it's worth, Dan Lanning, I see you, dude, and I like it. I like it. On to the NFL. So big trades yesterday, which shocking to see two blockbuster trades in the same day. Mm-hmm. Davante Adams went to the Jets. Does that help them?
Davante Adams has never not helped any team he's on, provided he actually wants to be there and wants to play. I think we're going to see a miraculous recovery physically on his part.
Weird, right? Yeah. It's going to be like a Gump moment where the braces spring off the legs.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be nice for him. but you gotta look at that team. The offensive line is still not very good. And I don't think their run game is all that great either. Breece Hall's okay.
He's good. Just if you don't have that good of a line, and then Rodgers is chucking the ball 50 times a game, which he now is doing, mm-hmm. He's underused. This is why I asked if it will help.
I mean, it'll help, yeah. But I mean, they've got four legit receivers now, two elite receivers.
Yeah. So,
Devontae Adams and Garrett Wilson are elite. They're top tier, top 10 receivers in the NFL, both on the same team now. Lazard is good, and Mike Williams is good, too. He may have gotten banged up, but he's also out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Ty Conklin is a serviceable tight end as well.
He's good.
You know, I think... I still think it's a problem that you don't have a good run game, but that's a solvable problem now that you have four really good receivers. You could, if really what they should do is take a book out, and this is true for every coach in the NFL, look to Andy Reid. What does he do when his backfield is just okay? He uses his fastest motherfucker to run end arounds,
mm-hmm.
or even direct snaps sometimes. Right. So I think Garrett Wilson probably should run the ball out of the backfield a little bit just to change it up, give him some space. All Aaron Rodgers needs, even at this age, is a little bit of cushion. Give him a pocket that's 3 seconds long, and he will win most of the time. Most of those battles he's going to win. But you got to figure out a way to do it, right?
Yeah.
I think he helps just by giving them more flexibility in how you can run your offense. Because, look, Lazard is a 7 to 10 yard guy. He's a binky. You know what I mean? He's a safety blanket or whatever.
He's dependable.
Mike Williams is in and out. He's older.
Yeah.
Just he's there. But Garrett Wilson's elite. But if you could double team him, then you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. If you're running, if you know institutionally that Alan Lazard is only good within a certain range, then you can use your top safety to fucking double team Garrett Wilson on pretty much every play. Well, you can't do it anymore.
Yeah,
because you're going to get burned because you got two of the best route runners in the entire NFL now, and fast, and Garrett Wilson's fast as shit. So, yeah, I mean, it definitely helps, but it only helps if they do it right.
Well, something you and I have discussed over the years, because we've been following Green Bay and we've bet them a lot over the years. Mm-hmm. Is it the running back in Breece Hall, or is it Aaron Rodgers at the line calling audibles and not giving him the ball? Because in Green Bay, this is what you and I used to bitch about back in the day was – he would never hand off to Aaron Jones. Mm. We always thought Aaron Jones was fucking incredible if he got the ball. Now he's in Minnesota and absolutely torching everybody in year, you know, 8 or 9 of his career. So I don't know what the answer is.
I know. Yeah, you do. You know what the answer is. You don't know if he's gonna agree with you. That's the problem. If you're the Jets, even with Devontae Adams and Garrett Wilson in your receiver core, Aaron Rodgers, who is effectively the coach of this team now, let's be real,
yep,
has to recognize that my best weapon is my defense. So how do I give my defense the best chance to win this game for me? Right? That's what you do as a manager.
Mm-hmm.
You take your best asset and you make sure that they have everything they need and you put them in the best possible position to succeed. And the best way to do that is to chew time off the clock. That's it.
Yep.
Take as much time off the clock as you can early in the first half of the game. That's really all you have to do if you're Aaron Rodgers here, because this defense is fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's a great defense, and all the pieces are there. We'll see if he's able to lead them. There's no excuse now. You got two top 10 receivers on one team.
Mm-hmm.
Shit. And Lazard is very serviceable, and so is Mike Williams. So
yeah.
I don't want to hear it out of the Jets if they ended up fucking losing after this. We'll talk about the other blockbuster trade that happened yesterday, which was Amari Cooper to the Bills. Look, he was stuck languishing in Cleveland.
This one's a bigger deal.
I think so, too.
But the Bills have, I mean, I don't hate him. He's actually a really good dude and fucking funny and cool and shit. But I as a player, I would not have Josh Allen on my team. I think he's a loser, right? but he's carried as much as an individual on a team as anybody I've ever seen. I've never seen anybody on any other team except for maybe Lamar a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
for those 2 years in a row where they didn't really have running backs. That's the only other guy I can even think of who's carried as much weight on an offense as this motherfucker has. And it's not slowing him down, to his credit. I mean, he's still young. Was he 27?
Yeah, he's a young dude.
But it's not slowing him down. He's got a big body. Just fucking, you know, I think it's a big deal because he's figured some stuff out personally, like how to use the legs and the arm at the same time in the same way that Lamar's figured it out now, right? And they're having great success. I don't think the Bills' defense is as good as Baltimore or some of these other teams in the AFC, but it definitely, this will be an impact move for them for sure. Like, they're closer to being up a legit playoff team or a deep run playoff team than the Jets are. That's why I think it's a bigger move.
Yeah, same. And they're 4-2 right now. They were missing a big receiver on the outside. Amari Cooper's always been dependable and great no matter where he's been. And Josh Allen finally got some help there, and it's a great move for them.
I mean, let's not pretend like Josh Allen hasn't had receivers, though.
No, he has. I'm talking about this year specifically, yeah. Where he had to literally do it all, run, throw, all of it. Like, he was the leading rusher, you know, almost every single week. Mm-hmm. And with this guy now, it at least opens it up. You got two great tight ends in Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid. Now you got Amari Cooper. That kid in the backfield's not bad either. And this puts them in a better playoff position, especially with the league as weak as it is right now. I know the Chiefs are 5-0, but none of those wins have really looked impressive for the Chiefs. And they're all by, 3 to 7 points apiece. Mm-hmm. They're on a bye this week.
I mean, I don't worry too much about the Chiefs.
I don't either. Yes. And they're going to win it all. But but this at least gets the Bills closer to that. Mm. I would have it top four in the AFC now. Chiefs, Texans, Ravens, and Bills.
I mean, those are the only good teams. Forget about... there's not a whole lot of competition for the top spots there, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, the other teams that have young, good quarterback. I mean, I think Cincinnati will probably end up sneaking their way in somehow if they can stay even close to healthy. Just having T. Higgins and Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow, you got to figure they're going to do something, especially as how weak the AFC is. but yeah, this is a big move. Amari Cooper, people sleep on this dude. I have no idea why. No idea why the Cowboys let him go. He's had back-to-back 1,200-yard seasons on the fucking Browns, mm-hmm. with either Jacoby Brissett or Deshaun Watson or a combination of those two as his quarterback. Okay, give him a real one and see what happens.
Yeah, he's always been great. He's just a quiet dude who doesn't draw a lot of attention to himself. Doesn't really chat with the media, doesn't do social media and all that stuff, and you forget how great he is. This is a great trade for these guys. And then on the Browns side, they got some picks. Not great picks out of it, but I looked at the big board here for Mel Kiper, and, man, they've got, as of right now, Cleveland taking Shedeur Sanders at one to be their quarterback.
That'll not. I mean, you know what? Cleveland might do it, actually. They took Johnny Manziel. That's that's probably the worst pick I've ever seen, except for maybe last year.
Hey, man, put some respect on Jamarcus Russell.
Jamarcus Russell looked like people had this thought that the NFL was going to transition into a new type of offense where a quarterback that primarily could run the ball would be successful in the league. And we saw some, right? Like, Mahomes has done a great job with his legs. And we're talking about the Steve Young style, not Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's a freak. Nobody can do that.
That was not Jamarcus Russell. Jamarcus Russell was a fat fuck who just had a cannon for an arm that just went off in the combine.
But when he tucked the ball, he was bullying people.
Yeah,
he
would just like run through people.
He was a fucking truck.
More like a Josh Allen, but he wasn't that fast either.
No,
right?
College, he just trucked everybody, dude. It was nuts.
Yeah, I think there was a...
He was the size of a fucking linebacker, that guy.
I think there was some, I don't know, some thinking that there was going to be some new, and it happens in football all the time, right? I mean, it's what, like, then you went to 2/3 of the way through Drew Brees' career, right? And everybody's like, you know what? 5'10's not that big a deal. I'm going to take Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
I'm going to take fucking Baker Mayfield. Baker turned out okay. Johnny Manziel did not.
Well, was it because of his own undoing, or was it?
No, he didn't have what it took to be a quarterback in the NFL.
He never looked at the playbook, exactly. According to that documentary, right. Which I had no idea about until I saw it. Yeah. And I was like, Jesus Christ, man. And then two right now, they've got Travis Hunter to New England. Obviously,
that would make sense.
Browns are 1-5. Patriots are 1-5. So they're going off worse records here. They got Abdul Carter out of Penn State going to Carolina Panthers. And then the shocker here in this one, which I actually think is great and would work, is the Raiders moving up to 4 to draft Cam Ward because they need a quarterback out there.
I wouldn't take Cam fucking Ward with that pick.
But who else is left?
I don't know. Wait a year.
Those are your quarterbacks this year.
You said the Raiders?
The Raiders, correct.
Right. So you put, let's say Joe Burrow is available this year. Let's say it's 2020 and Joe Burrow is available in this draft. The Raiders at number four, do you take him?
Yeah.
That's a mistake.
Taking Joe Burrow?
Yes. Why? Because the rest of your team fucking sucks. And by the time it takes 2 or 3 years down the road, maybe even four, by the time you actually get a team around him, it's time to pay him $60 million a year, and you can't do it now.
So how would you build the roster?
You build everything but the quarterback. That's it. This is the only way that it works. It's the way the best team that any of us have ever seen, right? And they're going to prove it this year probably when they win their third consecutive Super Bowl is the fucking Chiefs. And they did it exactly like that. Oh. And this new economy of football, you cannot do that. You can't fucking do what people used to do.
This is the greatest.
Like, we're going to take a young quarterback and build around him. No, you're not. Because he's going to price you out of his market in just a couple of years. It just happened in fucking Chicago.
Yeah.
It's the greatest quarterback probably ever, though.
But look at the Patriots, man. Brady was, what, six rounds? Look at the Rams. Bagging groceries. They got Kurt Warner.
You put Patrick Mahomes on the Raiders today, and they win 4 or 5 games.
I just don't think that's true.
Well, you can think whatever you want, but it's fucking true.
I don't think it is.
It doesn't matter what you think.
If he had Devontae Adams. Well, it depends. How much is Andy Reid a factor in that, too? Like,
he's a humongous factor.
I know.
Here's the biggest factor in all of it. Nothing. Mahomes can't do any of the shit he does without an offensive line that's successful. We saw it in that Super Bowl. They made it there, but during the playoffs, their offensive line got hurt and they got fucking wrecked. They got their ass handed to them. They did not look like a playoff team, much less a Super Bowl team.
So he carries the Raiders to 10 wins and a first round exit in the playoffs?
No, he doesn't make it there because they don't have any offensive line during the whole season. The Chiefs had an offensive line during the season.
Yeah.
Then they got hurt during the postseason and he got his ass handed to him, looked like a child out there. He was getting wrecked on every fucking play. Right. But last season, right, the top three pass rush fucking winners in the entire NFL were all Chiefs, all three of them. Right. You got to build that core first. You have to win at the line of scrimmage or you're not going to win.
It's an interesting debate because, like we've said on the show, what's Brady without Belichick? What is Mahomes without Reed?
I mean, Brady did it in Tampa, too.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
He won that.
You're right. Brady, he did that on his own.
But Brady, he didn't do it on his own. He had Mike Evans, who's the most consistent receiver in history.
Oh, no, wait. It was a different coach. It was Foster, right?
It wasn't Bowles, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, it was Arians.
Yes. Yeah, Bruce Arians.
Bruce Arians is a great coach, though. He's a great coach.
Yeah, so he also brought Gronk down there with him. He brought his security blanket, too, which is a smart move. And then you had Godwin and
Godwin Evans.
Yeah. Right? Who was the running back on that team? Was it...
The LSU dude, Fournette. Fournette.
Who's he's serviceable. That's as good as a running back that Brady's had in his career, except for maybe Dixon those couple of years.
So with Brady, because the other top story was Brady, they approved it. Owners approved it. He's buying 10% of the Raiders.
Yeah.
Does he bring in Belichick next year?
Well, that would be interesting. I don't know. I mean, Belichick, if anybody could turn a fucking franchise around, but still, Arthur Blank, right?
Sure do.
You're a big fan of his?
No, I'm not. I'm not.
Do you think fucking boy who cuts hair with knife out in Vegas is a better owner than Arthur Blank? Probably not, right?
But the thinking is if Brady's there, maybe he can steer him into this Belichick decision.
Mm-hmm. If he can give Belichick everything, like all the control, or maybe Brady shares in the control to some degree, and that Mark, whatever the fuck his name is not involved in any way.
Uh-huh. He's at P.F. Chang's with his girlfriend.
Then maybe they have a chance.
And enjoys his true love because they're in love. Guys, that has nothing to do with money.
You gotta think that Roger Goodell is praying to the devil or whomever he prays to that Brady fucking buys out this dude's position entirely.
It would be...
Get that guy out of the league forever.
It would be a dream for those guys.
What are you saying?
What is Belichick without Brady? Nothing. He's not a winner.
Yeah. No. No. It's just a perfect partnership, man. And
you
like,
need both. I guess you could say you've got to win in the trenches for sure. But to be elite, to be really elite, you've got to have a great coach and a great quarterback, right? So those are, some of that stuff you can control and some of it can't. You can't. Now, there aren't more Belichicks and more Andy Reids out there. Every now and again, you'll see one pot. Like Sean McVay is a great coach, I think. It took winning at the line of scrimmage to fucking get him over the hump just like everybody else, right?
Yeah.
An excellent pass rusher, and they had to bring in Von Miller to help out, right? That's how it goes.
And to your point about Mahomes, college he was fine, but he wasn't like a Heisman finalist or anything.
Yeah.
And then in the NFL, What round did Mahomes go? Did he go
first round?
Yeah, he was the first. 17th?
He was like between 10 and 15. But because the Chiefs traded up, he was putting up like 50 points a game, but his defense would give up 60 points a game. That was
it's
the
a Big
issue.
12 team. They don't fucking do anything.
Yeah, it's Texas Tech. Yeah. But he wasn't. I'll put it this way: he wasn't on my radar when we were doing the Falcons were picking. Where I was like, oh man, we got to have Patrick Mahomes.
Well, it's hard to tell.
I know, and that's the other issue with this, because for every Jaden Daniels, there's 10 other fucking Bryce Youngs that aren't doing
it.
He's
top 10 pick.
Who?
Mahomes.
Oh, he was. What number?
10.
Oh, he did go. So he went at 10. Who went ahead of him, just out of curiosity?
I think Deshaun Watson and Kiss and Titties. Mitch Trubisky.
Mitch Trubisky.
Wow. Wow, dude. Kiss and Titties is up there. Okay.
I mean, we say all this like it's fucking, it's obvious. It is obvious. But there's not more Andy Reid's and Belichick's floating around out there.
No. Right?
And there's also not more Patrick Mahomes. Like, I don't, well, if it's a good thought experiment. Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, under Andy Reid on the Chiefs right now, do they have as much success as Mahomes has had? I don't think so, because I think Mahomes has it up here. I think he's a fucking leader. I think he's mentally tough. All that stuff. Joe Burrow is as well. I think Burrow would be just as good as Mahomes over there. Josh Allen, not so much. He makes bad decisions a lot.
So the first pick that year was Myles Garrett. Great pick.
Yeah,
great
that's
pick.
A fucking great pick. Yeah.
Then Mitch Trubisky.
Oh, boy. He went two?
Chicago. Yeah, he went two.
Yeesh.
Then Solomon Thomas, Leonard Fournette, for some reason, top four
at
pick.
Four? On the wait, what year four. Was this?
He had a monster year at LSU.
I know, but drafting a quarterback running back at four. Good
I know,
God,
but
man.
This didn't really happen until like the last 4 or 5 years.
Corey Davis, Jamal Adams, Mike Williams, Christian McCaffrey went eight.
John those are Ross. All legitimate. All those guys are good that you just mentioned. So, all right.
I mean, McCaffrey was fucking, he's still good.
I would take Pat Mahomes over every single one of them. But
Over Myles Garrett?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm taking Mahomes over Myles
but
Garrett.
But at the time?
In hindsight, there's no way you would take that.
I mean, look at Myles Garrett now. The Browns are the Browns.
I believe the Browns had just drafted a quarterback.
What year was it? 2017 was Manziel.
No. Manziel won the Heisman in 2012, so he was drafted
long ago.
Or who am I thinking of? Who did they draft in 17?
Well, Myles Garrett. You mean in 16?
Or in 16, I mean, yeah.
And Baker, maybe?
I feel like they have a quarterback every fucking year that they draft.
Maybe it was Baker.
Looking back, though, Myles Garrett.
Was it
13,
14, 15 when they drafted quarterbacks 3 years in a row?
I think so. But Myles Garrett is excellent. I mean, he's one of the very best there is. So, that was the right move. It's not his fault.
Even in hindsight, I mean, it would be hard to take a quarterback over an edge rusher like that. Because you don't know.
He was so dominant, man. I agree with, and I hate the Browns.
So the quarterback for
decision.
The Browns that year was DeShone Kizer.
Who?
DeShone Kizer.
And he went to Notre Dame.
The Browns took Baker the next year.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. So 18?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's the alopecia guy from Notre Dame, right?
He had no alopecia.
No, that's...
He was just bald, huh?
No, he wasn't bald.
Dobbs from
Dobbs,
Tennessee.
Josh Dobbs.
Oh, got it. And, okay.
Yeah, Notre Dame, DeShone Kizer, he was just like a dude.
Dobbs has played for like
pull up a picture of DeShone Kizer.
NFL teams now.
I want to remember what this guy
is. He
like.
A white? With a name
it,
like
it,
DeShone?
It was a weird... He was a weird looking guy, I remember
it's
that.
It's not even spelled right.
There you go. Yeah, what is he? What do you think that is? What race is that?
Nah, he's a... Is he black? Somalian. Looks Somalian.
A little bit. Anyways, made it for about a year, another typical Browns move, and it is what it is. And then right now, breaking news, Jets do expect Adams to play Sunday versus the
it's
Steelers.
You know what I bet happened? It's crystals. So I don't know if you saw this, but Rodgers was on McAfee yesterday because it was Tuesday, right?
And he popped in behind him.
Yeah.
This whole thing was a fucking...
Started doing jumping jacks.
I said this weeks ago. The hamstring thing was fucking bullshit. Like,
yeah, but also, you know, it's not uncommon for a team that's shopping a guy to tell him not to play, right? Now, this is illegal, technically speaking. Like, if you lie about the injury report, you can get fined big time for that. I think you can lose draft picks over that, if I'm not mistaken. But hasn't it happened before? Somebody fucking with the injury report. But it's really about intent. Like if you're doing it to try to trick the other team into not expecting somebody to play is really what they made the rule for. So I don't know that they would care about this.
Breaking news too. NCAA just eliminated that rule right now.
Oh, mid-season? I've never heard of that.
I haven't either. And Bob, if you can look Bob, into it.
Didn't you say that it wasn't even...
I didn't think it was possible
mid-season, but apparently...
I mean, technically, they could do whatever the fuck they want.
Right.
Who's going to stop them?
Here's the NCAA's release. Issued a new rules interpretation on how to handle the penalty. If the defense has 12 players on the side, blah, blah, blah. Well, they can't do it, I guess. But no time change would be made if there are 12 men on the field. So they'll give you the time back. Interesting, man. I don't think I've ever heard a rule change in the middle of a season like this before. In any sport. Usually they wait till the end of the year.
In the middle of the year, man, no.
Smart, but yeah, shit. That's wild. And then the Giants are optimistic that Malik Nabers is going to return there. He's great. So this is it's purely for fantasy. It's not like the Giants have a shot at the fucking playoffs or anything.
No.
But let's get to last week's winners and losers, and then we'll get to this week's pick. All right. So for week six, 49ers Seahawks, we had this. It was another fun game up there for the Seahawks, man. 3-3 for this team with that fucking offense. It's crazy. Geno 30 for 52.
I don't understand. You get down and you got to throw the ball. That's not what I mean. But you've got Kenneth Walker III, who is one of the best running backs in football, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Now, the 49ers have a pretty good run defense, but they got a pretty good everything defense. You can't have a guy throwing the ball 52 times against San Francisco.
Oof.
Or against the Jets or a couple of other teams. It just ain't going to work out for you. Now, he did spread the ball around a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you throw 52 times, you kind of have to.
Yeah, but he wasn't throwing. Like, usually when you see a guy, he completed 30 passes to 10 different receivers. Eight of them had multiple receptions, but none of them had a long under 10 yards, right? So he wasn't throwing five-yard passes. I just don't. It's something's not adding up for this offense right now. You see, forget about the quarterback for a moment. Kenneth Walker and Lockett. And Jigma, Metcalf, and Noah Fant, all these guys, and they still can't fucking figure it out. It's time to remove that coach and the OC and put somebody in that knows what they're doing.
Well, Metcalf was screaming at the coach on the sidelines, and his exact words were, "Give me the fucking ball," and that's never good. During the middle of a season.
Well, he was targeted 11 times, and he had 3 receptions. So I don't know if that's the play calling and he's not getting open or whatever. DK Metcalf is one of few people in the NFL that doesn't need to be open for you to throw to him.
Nope, just chuck it straight up.
Put it up in the air, let him go up and grab it. He can hold on to the ball. Now, when he's running with it, he can't hold on to it sometimes. But as far as making the reception in the first place, he's pretty good at that.
He's pretty fucking good.
But then San Francisco is also very good. I mean, this Garindo dude came out of nowhere. Jordan Mason's still putting up numbers. Brock Purdy is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. This is a fact. You put Brock Purdy on Seattle and he's got 400 yards a game just because he's accurate. That's it.
Is it the coach though? We'll go back to what we said at the top. You got Shanahan up there.
Yeah. Shanahan's a good offensive mind for sure.
I don't think the Seahawks have a bad coach though either. He comes from that sort of young guy. Let me see what coaching tree he's from.
Defensive coordinator for the Ravens last year, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were okay on defense last year.
Yeah.
Better this year, but probably not because of him. They're just performing better, but who's the OC at Seattle?
Let me check.
While you're looking at that, we'll go to the next game. Jaguars-Bears, Dan's favorite quarterback in the league, Caleb Williams, 4 TDs.
Oh, yeah, dude.
4 touchdowns.
I'm telling you,
out of that
all
guy.
He's got to do is play the worst teams, and he'll be great.
Seahawks hired Ryan Grubb as their OC. He was the OC at UW at Washington the 2 years prior.
Interesting.
Okay, well, we can see that doesn't translate now.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Maybe he should have gone to Alabama.
Well,
it does translate. Are you kidding me? The whole Jaden Daniels' whole fucking success is because Cliff Kingsbury is the OC there.
Yeah, 100% of Jaden Daniels' success is Cliff Kingsbury.
It's not him taking off the ball and running half the game. Yeah, I'm looking at the Bears' schedule here. So, to your point, who they've beaten. The Titans, Colts, when they had to play a good team, Texans, they lost. Rams, Panthers, Jaguars. Now they got Washington this week. That'll be a fun game, though, to watch Jaden Daniels go against Caleb Williams. And both of them are going to want to outperform each other.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it might be a shootout because the Redskins defense has played okay this year, better than I thought actually, but they gutted that defense last year. So
yeah,
it's only a matter of time before somebody blows them up. It might be him.
It's a fun game. Next one, Packers Cardinals. We called this one. Packers blew him out down there. I don't know what you do with fucking Kyler Murray. I mean, you're stuck with this turd.
Well, there's that surgery where you can make people taller now.
I don't know, extend his legs.
Mm-hmm.
But to not throw one pass to Marvin Harrison Jr. Like,
who?
Yeah. Never heard of him.
Well, he was targeted twice.
No, zero completions?
Not one.
At 6'4" and a half.
Maybe he's a bum.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely him. Maybe he's not lazy. Kyler maybe, Murray.
Maybe Marvin's lazy. Yeah.
Getting open is an effort. Yeah. Matter. That's it.
Marvin Harrison could be on the ground with dudes on top of him, and he's open technically.
He's always still. Open.
Good he's God. Do you remember, were you, you were at that Notre Dame game with us, Delco, weren't you?
No, you no he there? Wasn't there.
I mean, that last drive is the best receiving, I think, in big moments I've ever seen in my life.
He just catches everything. I don't really understand what's going on there.
Who 17 catches through 6 weeks? Sus.
You know, shit. You got Kyler Murray at quarterback.
Kyler's not playing bad.
He's not playing great. Not playing great.
He's okay. He's middle of the road right now.
13 points this week. 13. either way, we took the Packers, so it didn't matter. Next up, Colts, Titans. Joe Flacco continues to win down there. Colts are now 3-3. Shit, dude. It's pretty wild to see.
I mean, the Titans are fucking terrible, and they beat them by three. So don't – like, Flacco is competent. Don't get me wrong, but – the Titans are one of the worst teams in the
just
NFL.
Just to come off the couch at 40, though, and just step in and win game. Winning any game in the NFL is hard. The fact that he's been able to do it is crazy, and they're back in it. They're back in the playoff hunt.
It's very impressive, and I don't know how difficult it's going to be to win that division.
Yeah. Texans absolutely rolled there. C.J. Stroud, big game, 3 TDs.
Drake May didn't play bad.
He didn't. He didn't, and he had 3 TDs on his own, so... maybe that could be the guy. It's only been one game, but we'll see. But it was a positive start for him for sure. Baker Bates against the Saints, 51-27. Spencer Rattler's down there. They need Carr back.
The Saints gave up fucking. Or the Saints scored 27, all 27 of their points in the second quarter.
Yep.
Without that little burst, they got on a little bit of a run, and then the Bucks tightened up on them. This is 50-10, to be honest.
Yeah.
Baker looked really good in this game.
Yeah.
And to be honest, the Saints defense had been playing pretty well coming into this game, too. They just got lit the fuck up.
Yeah, 325, 4 TDs, out of them 24-36. Next up, Browns, Eagles. This was Sirianni's last game. Or is he still there?
It was his swan song.
Yeah, it felt like it. When he was telling everybody to fuck off in the stands. I was like, oh, he might be gone pretty soon.
Hey, we beat the worst team in the league on our last possession. Goddamn right we did.
We're allowed to talk our shit, all right? As long as you win. If Sirianni just keeps winning.
Sure.
No issues.
Sure. It was the Browns at 1-5, though, and it's not great. Next up was Redskins at Ravens. Ravens continue to roll. Did not cover, and we called this on the show. It was 7.5 and said, hey, that's too big. Either knock it down a half to push or not. And the Commanders ended up covering. Fun game. And they were relatively in it. And the Ravens are one of the best teams in the NFL.
They weren't relatively in it. They won this game in some ways, right? I mean, or at least tied. There was a touchdown called back in this game that should not have been. And I think everybody in the media now agrees on that.
Mm-hmm.
But then you can't say how the game would have played out after that. Because the Ravens just tried to fucking empty out the fucking clock afterwards. So
yeah,
who knows what would have happened. The Ravens are obviously a better team, but yeah, they played well on the road too.
Next up was Chargers at the Broncos. Thank God the Broncos lost. I don't have to get the Let's Ride tattoo. I think more importantly though is what Harbaugh's been able to do with this Chargers team. They gutted this entire team before he got there, and they don't really have any offensive weapons. I mean, shit, dude. No, and they're 3-2.
They brought the two running backs over from Baltimore that they've been using the last couple of years, and they've been okay, I
Dobbins
guess.
Is crushed this year. I mean, he's on my fantasy team. So, like, dude, he's averaging like 104 yards a game.
Yeah,
he's been rad, and they're really riding him. He's coaching this team like he coached in Michigan. So,
I mean,
yeah.
They've played some bad teams to juice those numbers up. 135 against the Raiders, 100. 30 against the Panthers, and now 96 against Denver, but against Pitt and KC, he was like at 40.
They're not going to be beating Steelers and KC yet. He just got there, but
no, but they,
not
I
a
mean,
bad
this is,
start if you're a Chargers
yeah,
fan.
This is the game he runs. Harbaugh, I mean. I think Quentin Johnson is going to be a good receiver at some point. And he's a guy, I don't know, I mean, like just maybe provincial in some ways, but a big body like that is the kind of receiver that Harbaugh likes. You know what I mean? Because he wants to run the ball and throw the ball short into traffic.
Shorts. And, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Lab McConkey, I don't know much about that guy, to be honest, except for his name.
He's white.
But, yeah, they've got a couple of weapons. I don't know. A couple years from now, I think this is going to be a fucking perennial playoff contender because Harbaugh's a great coach.
For sure, and I believe in Herbert. Next up, this is a fucking head-scratcher to me, and it's not because of the outcome of the game. Steelers-Raiders, after the game, I mean, they won 32-13. Steelers were 4-2. After the game, Tomlin was asked about Russell fucking Wilson coming back. And he said, yeah, we're going to give him first team reps this week. So is he going to start? Do you have any confirmation of that? Bob?
Check. I mean, that would be weird.
That would be fucking wild to me. But he said he was going to take first team reps this week.
In consideration is all I'm saying.
I mean, Justin Fields is not the reason they're winning games.
But it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, but he might be the reason they're not losing games.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And I think that's all he cares about, is Tomlin does. So why swap it out week 7? That would be wild to me if he ends up doing that. But keep an eye on it when we get to those bets for next week.
It's probably going to be a game time decision.
Odd.
Well, they're going to play it close to the chest just to fuck with the other team. So.
As of 19 hours ago, Justin Fields likely to be benched by Steelers for Russell Wilson.
You're kidding.
What headline is
that's
that
from? Yahoo Sports.
Wow. Four and two and you're going to bench the starter?
I think we might be getting rope-a-doped by Tomlin, to be honest.
We might. And then look who walked in. Uncle Laser, dude. Perfect timing. Grab Bob's mic. I want to ask you about this next one here. In the NFL, this is your team. These are your people. This is your franchise. This is your city. 47-9, the Cowboys lost. Yeah. Yeah. What's going on over there, dude?
I mean, I actually took the Lions at the -3.5, I think it was when I got
We did too on the show.
I loved it. Yeah. I was like, I mean, it's something. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, that's.
I don't know. Dak got all the money. CD got all the money. Those two aren't going anywhere.
They're not going anywhere, but we can't. Once they got rid of Dan Quinn went on and is now the coach for the
Redskins.
Yeah. I mean, our defense, we've got the worst defense in the NFL on every asset.
Yeah.
Bottom five in every category there is.
That's true. You're also last in the league on third down conversion as well. Not that that's defense, but it's a lot of problems. It isn't just the defense one.
You can't win if you're last in the league in third down conversion.
And you can't. I never would have been a big believer. I get it. You got to pay your quarterbacks to make the money. But Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes, they make players around them better, right? So, like, you can pay them that money, and they can make – you can do it with nobody. Travis – Mahomes and they can do it with lower-tier guys. Dax, he's a Jason Campbell 2.0. He's a game manager, but a tad bit better.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I mean, he's strange. He makes people around him so much better that Amari Cooper left.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, I mean, it's not good for the Cowboys. Now, they will be, after this bye week, they're going to be getting D-Law back. They're going to be getting Michael Parsons back as well. But they had him before. They haven't been winning then either. So, I don't know what the fuck's going to happen with this team, dude. To be honest. And, Bob, do you want to pull up so – Jerry Jones went on. So there's a local radio station up there in Dallas that he owns, by the way.
Okay.
He owns it. And he pays,
the fan.
Yeah, the fan. He pays these motherfuckers to
run the network.
To run the network. And he goes on once a week and does an interview with them.
Okay.
And they were like, hey, bro, what the fuck? I mean, so here are the facts before you listen to the interview. The Cowboys spent more money in the offseason than any other team, and they didn't add one new player.
No.
That should be impossible, right? I mean, they did add some lower level people, but nothing, not like a fucking receiver or a new quarterback, maybe, or a fucking edge rusher or somebody like that. They spent more money than anybody and didn't add to the team. So here's the result of that. Play that, Bob.
Let me tell you what I'll do about it. I will let us sit down and look at the decisions we've made over the last several years. Okay? I'll look at it. Now, if you think I'm interested in on a damn phone call with you over a radio and sitting here and throwing all the good out with the dishwater, you have got to be smoking something over there this morning. I'm not. And I really don't, and I don't even want our listeners to listen to me, to talk about this is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something, and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask
get
why.
A job, or I'll get another. I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why the team is.
I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you. You're not going to figure out it's what the team is doing right or wrong. If you are. Or any 5 or 10 like you, you need to come to this meeting I'm going to today. There are 32 teams here. You're geniuses.
Jerry,
okay? Y'all really think you're going to sit here with a microphone and tell me all of the things that I've done wrong and without going over the rights?
What?
Now, listen, we both know we're talking to a lot of great fans and a lot of great listeners, and I am very sorry for what happened out there Sunday. I'm sick about what happened Sunday. Now, I'm not talking to these yahoos on the end of this phone. I'm talking to you, the fans that are listening this morning. And we can spend a lot of time going over zigging and zagging. One of the stupidest things I've ever done that anybody has ever analyzed is by the Cowboys. It was an idiot that did that. So idiot things can turn into good decisions. Okay? Smart things can turn into bad decisions. The facts are that when you make one, you don't really know whether it's going to be good or not at the time. So let's just go ahead. I'm trying to answer your questions, man. You want some conversation this morning? You're getting it.
Jerry Jones here.
Okay, wow.
I've not heard that until right now. Yeah. So
let's talk about it. Let's have the conversation, but you don't get to ask me questions.
State run media.
Ooh.
Cowboy land. Now,
this is what it's like to listen to CNN, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. Can you imagine Kamala Harris going on CNN and getting grilled like that? Not a political show, by the way. That's threatening a man's job or multiple men's jobs because you're incompetent. That's fucking pretty rough right there, buddy. Like, I know there's a lot of endearing qualities about Jones that people in the Cowboys family like, but that ain't one of them.
Well, it's not like he did anything in the offseason either. So what was the huge breakthrough they were hoping to have this year?
I don't know.
When you don't pick up one free agent in the offseason, I don't really understand. Everybody else is making moves all year round, and whether or not you agree with them or not, like the next one, Kirk Cousins to the Falcons, like, they did something to bring in a quarterback because Desmond Ridder was dog shit. So at least it was a move, but the Cowboys made zero moves. So yeah, people are going to ask what the fuck is going on over there, and they've got the money to do it. Very, very strange. As a fan, Laser, I'll ask you this because a lot of Cowboys fans have said this for years to us. Whenever we see him is, I can't wait till Jerry Jones dies so we can get new ownership in there to create a new team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking on the live chat too. I mean, we've been since the Jimmy Johnson debacle. Okay, When Jimmy Johnson left because of essentially Jerry Jones, it's kind of like a curse. Like, we ain't really been relevant since.
Yeah.
But then if you got to look at it, like, even if he does, when he does pass away, his son Steven takes right over, right? So is it the same mindset going in there, or is it really going to change? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like you don't spend any money. You're putting the same product out there. You lose the best defensive coach in the game, in my opinion, in Dan Quinn.
Yep.
And then now you really see it because you still got essentially the same players.
I mean, really, they should have made Dan Quinn the head coach of the Cowboys.
I honestly think they should have fired McCarthy or Quinn should have stayed.
Fired McCarthy and then upgraded Quinn.
The last 2 years, they should fire McCarthy and bring Quinn in or bring in Bell or whomever, right? I think the worst thing that could have ever happened to the Cowboys was that Barry Switzer came in and they won that Super Bowl in 97 because it validated Jerry Jones' stupid decision-making.
Yep. Yeah.
That he succeeded after doing one of the dumbest things that's ever happened in professional football.
And Dan Quinn, by the way, was the only coach in the last fucking 20 years to get the Falcons to at least the Super Bowl.
Now look at Washington. Washington.
I know. And he was good with the Falcons, too. They fired him. Thank God, dude. Thank God. Next up, we got Bengals at the Giants. Snooze fest of a game here. They covered the 9 points, but didn't touch it. It was too many fucking points in this one, and then it proved to be right on the nose here. They ended up scoring a touchdown on the fourth to cover. Last but not least was the Bills-Jets. Ugly game here. Zuerlein, Legatron, dude, hit the upright twice.
Yeah. Windy day.
Yeah, that was brutal.
The kicks I didn't even care about. It was the fucking like 30 penalties. That was horrible.
Yeah, but it was a lot. It was a hard game to watch. We took the over in this one of 41.5, and then the teaser in the parlay. We won all the things, but the Jets had enough opportunities to win this game. And
this is the most penalties for both teams I've seen in a game in the NFL, I think. They both had 11 penalties for 94 and 110 yards, respectively.
Yeah. That means
that's 200 yards of penalties in one game.
But they were more than 22 penalties called because there were multiple offsettings.
Yes.
Man.
Yep. And I mean, it was awful to watch, and it drug out the game. It felt like it was never going to end. Yeah, boy, brutal one. And then, look, good for Josh Allen for sticking it out there, getting those guys to 4-2. All right, we got some sponsors, and then we'll get to this week's picks. First and foremost is mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Every single spread we read on the show today is from mybookie.com. 300 prop bets on every single game over there. Best in the biz. If you're gambling out there and you got a site to pick, in my opinion, it's the only one you can do right now, because the rest of them, I think, are available in like 6 or 8 states. Like, you just can't get in any of them. MyBookie doesn't have that problem, and they're great. And the reloads with the fans and all that shit has been awesome. And Dan, yes, I'm fucking Silver Elite, dude. Respect me. Put some respect on it.
Silver Elite sounds like something at AARP.
That's not at all, dude.
Which is probably
it means
true.
That I'm elite.
No.
And I am I'm headed to platinum someday. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles that first deposit up to $1,000 at mybookie.com. Next up, we got firstform.com/drinking bros. Just took the microfactors right before I came on. Here's the empty bag, all right, in case you think I'm a fucking liar. Love them. Love the microfactors. Love all their supplements over there. This box that you're seeing right in front of my face holds 30 little plastic pouches. Big Six is in there, antioxidants, CoQ10s, multivitamins, fruits and veggies, EFAs, and the probiotics are all in there. It takes the guesswork out of it. You don't have to reload all the shit from Amazon or whatever your vitamin place is. They just do it for you. They're not just a microfactor company, however, they're also a protein company, D'Anthony.
Yeah, protein.
Building block of life.
Speaking of reloading.
Yeah.
You better be eating protein.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're fucked. Stop eating carbs altogether. No, don't stop. But you should. You should probably, for most of you out there, you should probably be eating about 0.8 grams of protein per pound of body weight every single day to replace the fucking your body. Right. I mean,
yeah.
That's what happens. Your body sheds cells and then it gains them by eating. High quality protein is the best way to do that.
I've been mowing through these level one bars. Man, they're good. The fucking peanut butter chocolates. Pretzel is a chef's kiss. So is the cookie dough. Huge fan of their company, and their energy drinks fucking rock as well. Go to firstform.com/drinking bros today for free shipping on orders over $75. And First Form is spelled with a one. That is 1STPHORM, firstform.com/drinking bros. Next up is drinkingbrostickets.com. If you want tickets to any of these games, they're $10 cheaper than StubHub. We also do college football, rodeos, concerts, comedy, anything you could possibly think of that sells tickets. We got it on there. And if you're looking to go to that Saints game tomorrow night, $20. $20 will get you in the stadium there in New Orleans and you just get fucking rocked. Why not, I guess? You're going to watch Spencer Rattler against Bo Nix. Have fun. And then hardafseltzer.com. We're still running that special. 20% off with the promo code Drinking Bros at checkout. It'll knock it down to $40 for 24 cans. It's the last of the old flavors. If you haven't tried them yet, try them now. We'll ship them right to your house. 20% off with the promo code Drinking Bros at checkout at hardafseltzer.com. Also, click on that store locator, enter your city or zip, and find the closest location nearest you so you can grab a 12-pack for whatever game you're tailgating at. We're now available in 12 states, and we're marching on for the spring. All right, first game up on Thursday night, Broncos, Saints. This is Denver, -2.5. Over under 37.5. All of this is gross. Who you got?
Man, I mean, it's hard not to take the over in this, because the Saints offense, even without a real quarterback, is still pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
I mean, they got a lot of talent over there. I'll probably take the over in this, to be honest. I don't believe Denver is going to win the game either.
This is one of those weird Thursday night teasers that I throw up where I'll drop it down to 30.5.
I mean, the Saints haven't been getting blown out. They haven't been giving up a bunch of points. Like last week they did, but against the Chiefs, they gave up 26. Against the Falcons, who are also great on offense, 26. I think they win. I'm going to take the Saints money line, actually.
Really?
And then I'm going to take the over 37.5.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to jack this up in one of my sweet, sweet Thursday night teasers, just because I don't know. I mean, I always put something on this game, but I'm not confident one way or the other that either of these teams can win. I mean, somebody's got to at the end of the day, unless this turns out to be a tie. In that case, it would be hilarious. Now, the selfish part of me wants the Broncos to lose, so I don't have to get that tattoo at the end of the season, and this would certainly help. Next up is Patriots, Jaguars, 2-1-5 teams. Jacksonville -5.5. Yeesh. Who you got?
If you think I'm betting on this, you're out of your goddamn mind.
Same,
brother.
Same.
To be honest, I think this over's high. Although, you know, they may be speculating a little bit on homeboy from UNC, Drake May, having put it together a little bit. And maybe he did, right?
Yeah.
Like, the Patriots don't have any real weapons or anything. Ramondre Stevenson's a good running back. But that's, like, I don't even know who the receivers are.
That's it, man.
Ramondre Stevenson's been good for three years now. He's been pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jaguars suck. They're incompetent.
This is the coffee game also, by the way. This is the early game in the morning there. And I'll probably sleep through this one.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, part of me, if things were going differently right now, I would give it to the Jags because they've been in London for a week.
You know, yeah, I mean,
they're not going to have to adjust, but at 5.5, not one fucking prayer, dude.
No.
Does Peterson get left on the tarmac?
They fucking.
If he loses, yes. At 1-6, yeah, he's out of there.
They should leave him in the UK. For
absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah.
And or push him out of the plane on the way back.
We're not sending our best and brightest over there, well, Roger Goodell.
You're embarrassing Khan in front of his friends in London. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
he'll definitely get rid of Peterson.
I think so. Next up, Seahawks at the Falcons. This should be a fun game, actually. This is Atlanta -3 here. Who you got?
I guess I'll bump it down to 2.5, but I think the Falcons got this wrapped up, to be honest. Offense is good. They've been clicking a little bit lately. Seahawks defense has not been good, and the Falcons defense is very good.
Mm-hmm.
And the Seahawks just can't seem to figure it out on offense despite having all those weapons. So the fucking Falcons 2.5.
I'm with you on the 2.5 there. And look, I'll go back to what I said earlier in the week. Saquon Barkley, if he makes that catch, the Falcons start off 0-4. Instead, they're now 4-2 with a chance to go 5-2 this week. And wild turn of events for the Falcons here. Then they won that game in overtime. And then every game has been fucking wild for these guys, and they're somehow pulling it out. Next up, we got Titans at the Bills. Bills -9. Yeesh. Amari Cooper probably start Sunday, I would imagine, right? Is it too late in the week? Wednesday?
No, I mean, I think they probably work him in a little bit. He's not going to be a primary or anything like that, but he'll be out there, I would think. You at least want to, like, the chances of them getting up big early in the first half against the Titans are pretty high.
Yep.
Then use the third quarter to pepper him in a little bit, get him involved in the offense so you get some actual game reps. Probably, right? Who knows? He's not hurt or anything. So I wouldn't expect. Well, why would you keep him out?
9 is a lot for me. And
9's too much.
I'll put it in a teaser, though, but, for sure. I'm just talking about this straight up.
Is James Cook playing because he was out Monday?
Not sure if he's still hurt.
He's participating in walkthrough sessions, but not full practice today.
Okay.
I would keep an eye on that. I think 9's too much either way for an NFL game, but Shakir has been good this year.
Yep.
Dalton Kincaid has been very good this year.
He was fucking awesome in college, man. He was in Utah. Mm. Motherfucker. He torched Ohio State in that Rose Bowl. We ended up winning, but he had like fucking 200 yards. And he's awesome.
Yeah, their first pick in the draft, Keon Coleman. I don't know what school he went to, but he's fucking been pretty good too. They got Curtis Samuel over there. Now they're adding fucking Amari Cooper. The Bills might fucking do it a little bit. I still think their defense is kind of soft, but
yeah, I don't think they'll win a Super Bowl.
Nobody's got a complete team in the NFL this year.
Keon Coleman played on the undefeated Florida State team, although before that he was at Michigan State, and I believe played both basketball and football.
He's a fucking stud for sure.
So he played for Izzo.
He's probably got the biggest chip in the world on his shoulder then, coming off that Florida State team. First year receiver, he's a third. I think he's their slot guy, and he's second or third on the team in receiving yards right now. He's fucking good. So I don't know. I mean, you're gonna have four legit. It's gonna be kind of like what we saw in four legit receivers on a team plus a tight end.
Yeah, two tight ends. Dawson Knox is good.
Yeah, Dawson Knox too. Yeah, I mean, I don't know who Josh Allen's gonna blame it on this year. I'll say that. We'll see.
Mahomes, maybe.
I mean, he could blame it on the defense, probably.
No.
Blame it on the rain.
They're going to come together like the terrorists on 9/11.
Yeah, I would love for the Bills to finally, like, I don't like Josh Allen as a player that much, but I would love to see that franchise fucking win.
I would like to see Buffalo win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't understand the fucking Josh Allen hate. He's a bro. He's a dude.
No, I like him as a person. I would love to, like, he's a great dude. I'm told that he's a great dude by other people that have played with him that we run into from time to time as well, but it's not that. It's just like, he gets that look in his eyes
towards the end when
shit's on the line, and I just, some people are cut out for it and some people aren't. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's what I think.
He went from being like a complete project to a top two quarterback in the league.
Who's it to? You got Josh Allen at two.
Yeah, huh? I do.
Really? Above Lamar Jackson?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would take Josh Allen over Lamar.
I think Josh Allen has won more playoff games or at least the same amount in less time.
What about Burrow?
Burrow had that 1 year, but other than that, I mean, they're 2-4.
Out of that AFC, though, against the Chiefs, Burrow's the only one to sneak through in the Super Bowl.
I think that's more a matter of, I mean, look, Allen lost that one game through no fault of his own.
He won the game.
Yeah, like 13 seconds left is crazy.
And then
like,
too much time on the clock.
Yeah, I scored too soon. It's crazy, but
scored too soon.
But Burrow, I think not that Burrow plays bad games against the Chiefs, because he doesn't. He plays great against the Chiefs, but I think that's a matter of the Cincinnati coaching staff, for whatever reason, having KC coaching staff's number. Because Kansas City just doesn't play.
He also has way more weapons. Josh Allen continues to carry the entire team on his back.
Well, he doesn't have a choice this year. Well, no, he's got Cooper now, so we'll see what happens.
I mean, performance-wise, Burrow's better right now, but we'll see as the weapons get there if Cooper makes a big dent in this. And it's not by much, by the way. Burrow's not ahead of him by much. But Burrow's had struggles of his own. They have no offensive line.
Yeah.
And also, Chase is out a couple of games. T. Higgins missed a couple of games. No. You know, I don't know. I think Allen's definitely a top five quarterback for sure.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say top two.
I just don't know that he'll win a Super Bowl.
I hope he does. I like that team. I like the guys they have.
I like the Bills, dude. Yeah. Yes. I would like to see the Bills win a Super Bowl.
And the fans, the Bills fans are just like, instead of being annoying about it, they're just going to get fucking hammered.
And
break shit. It's like, fuck yeah, dude. That's what you should do when you win.
Whole thing with Josh Allen, too, was he's careless with the football. Zero interceptions.
Yeah, he's done a much better job this year.
It's like I said, dude, at the beginning of the year, it has been a different game plan for him this year, and it has worked. It has eliminated his mistakes.
Well, it's also, I mean, that's what a great coach does, by the way, but it's the same thing with Lamar this year.
Mm-hmm.
This is the best football Lamar's ever played, except for maybe that MVP season, but that was all stats.
Like, that was successful. All stats. This is actually like, hey, dude,
they're winning games.
Thoughtful with the ball.
They're like, most of the games the Ravens have played in, they've won them by some period in the third quarter, and they just kind of ride the rest of the game out. Like, even last week against the Redskins, who were a very good team, they were pretty much just fucking burning clock.
Yeah.
Towards the end of that game. They're good, man. And I hope Buffalo gets there. I like James Cook, Dawson Knox. I like.
Also,
I always thought Curtis Samuel is good too. He just never had any success. And I don't know where Shakir came from. What fucking school did he go to?
I don't know.
Is he at BYU or say, he's somewhere out west?
I will say, small
school out west. Where did he go to?
I'll look it up. But Khalil Shakir went to. Let's see.
Like went BYU? To Boise.
Oh, of course.
Always bet on Boise, fellas.
I knew it was somewhere out there.
The Bills also have, should be noted, Joe Brady at offensive coordinator. His stint with the Panthers wasn't great, but this was the architect of the 2019 LSU offense.
Ed Orgeron a fucking title.
Yeah, with Burrow and all those guys. Joe Brady's a legitimately great offensive mind.
He was also the translator for Orgeron that year, and a lot of people don't know that because they had to actually speak English to the player. What did he say? Oh, he said wide right up the middle.
I think Orgeron might be the – well, you know what? Somebody was talking about him on ESPN yesterday that he wasn't even a coach on the team.
Really. Oh, just a manager?
Barely even a manager. Like he would hang out with the offensive linemen.
That's cool.
And that was pretty much it.
Won a title. Yeah. It worked.
Yeah. He's living an awesome life.
Sometimes you just got to get the fuck out of the way.
With his hot ass 24-year-old girlfriend taking selfies in bed with her.
Aaron Rodgers could learn something from him. Just get out of the way, bro.
Just get out of the fucking way. Look at that smoke show. Put her up on screen real quick. She's earned it.
Listen, he won a title. He's got this fucking bimbo on his side.
Great life for him, you know? Great life for that guy. Way to go. Way to go. Next up, we got Bengals-Browns. Cincy, -6 at Cleveland. Give me Cincy in this game. You just lost Amari Cooper, and the team has completely given up. I mean, the franchise has given up on you at this point, so you don't trade your best wide receiver without throwing in the towel.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I'm not sure they had a towel to throw.
No, but Bengals will be 3-4 after this, and then they're right back in the hunt again.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, great game. Texans at the Packers. This is Green Bay -2.5. Who you got?
Well, first I'll say we've got, if you're one of those people that believe in Caleb Williams long term, I'm not one of those people, but if you are, we have two of the best matchups of young quarterbacks maybe ever in the same week.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think too much of Caleb Williams, but you know, I think that'll be a good game. This is another one. CJ Stroud and fucking Jordan Love are two of the best quarterbacks in the game right now.
Yep.
Performance wise, at least.
I think we're crowning Jordan Love a little too early.
Okay. You've always hated Jordan
four
Love.
And two, so.
You've always hated Jordan Love.
Yeah, and, I mean, and Jordan Love's didn't win those games.
They've got the ability to do something that they couldn't do when Aaron Rodgers is there, and that's hand the fucking ball off.
Yeah.
Control the clock. You know what I mean? The Packers have always been kind of a hard-nosed team. You don't finesse with a hard-nosed team. You fucking run it. You know what I mean? This is going to be close. I don't know. I think the Texans probably win this game, actually.
I was going to say, I'm taking Texans here. Give me the points in the Texans.
I'll probably take Texans money line. I think they're going to win this game.
Yeah, I do too, and I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be a last-second field goal by Fairburn to win it for these guys. It's going to be a good one. Check on the weather, though.
It's 56 and a little bit of rain, right?
Yeah.
I think I'm not concerned about that.
Me neither. And CJ Stroud has played in that weather all throughout his college career. So he's fine. Next up, you got Dolphins at the Colts. This is Indy -3. God, what a gross game. I don't bet this.
Is there any chance that we're in week 7 now. So there's 2 more weeks before the trade deadline. It's a new year. It's not next week. It's a week after.
Mm-hmm.
Any chance the Dolphins unload a couple of people, Tyreek Hill, maybe.
If he's looking around the league and he saw Amari Cooper leave, mm-hmm. Davante Adams leave,
and he sees
to go to contenders,
not only do they not have a quarterback right now, but they're not going to for at least 2 years. Next year they won't have one because there's not one in the draft unless they take if they trade up and get Cam Ward in the first round, maybe. Who knows, right? But Tyreek Hill with a fucking semi-accurate young quarterback, I don't think he's going to be too thrilled about that. Also, Tyreek Hill loves to party, and he lives in Miami. That might be more important to him than winning football.
And unlike the other two receivers that we talked about earlier, well, Amari Cooper didn't say shit. They asked Tyreek Hill point blank this week, hey, do you want to be traded now? Mm-hmm. And he said, no. I love where I am. I love my coach, and I'm good here, which is unusual. Mm-hmm.
Good coach, and they're 2-3, and their quarterback's going to come back, all right? Tua is going to...
Man, I fucking hope not the damn thing. Sake, dude. Damn.
I hope not. I know we talked about that earlier this week, but Schefter Jesus is saying Christ.
Sooner rather than later.
Tua's going to be back in like the next month.
Oh, God, dude.
I'm not like the biggest Tua fan of all time, but man, I just don't want him to die.
I don't either. I'm not a fan of him, but I don't want him to die on television.
Learned how to fall. He did jiu-jitsu. He's going to be all right.
That was last year.
He dove right into the guy. Like, that's how he got this last concussion. Next up, Lions at the Vikings. Another great game. Here we go. Minnesota -2.5 at home. Oh, I know where I'm going with this. I'm all in on the Lions. All in on the Lions this week. They're rolling right now.
I mean, you can be all in on the Lions any week. The Vikings picked up Cam Akers, I think.
Yeah. He'll be a backup to Aaron Jones.
Yeah, that's
traded with the Texans. It's a good move.
Minnesota, and I think they'll probably re-sign him to like a 2-year deal or some shit like that too, and keep those guys together from whatever develops in Minnesota the next 2 years. I don't know if McCarthy's going to come in and start next year or what the fuck they're going to do.
Not sure.
I never thought Darnold would be 5-0. Me you know, either. But he's not. He's never been bad. Either
he's
right?
always just been derp.
He's been kind of derpy looking in middle of the road, but he's also been on. He's never been on a good team ever until right now, and he's having success. So maybe he is good.
Skull motherfuckers! I think you guys lose this week. I think I got Lions. Give me the points.
2.5 is.
I'm not taking that. I'll just money line. It. No, like, I don't need the 2.5.
I'll just money line Lions. I'll take the 2.5, but I think the Lions win the game.
And I'm gonna when I post this bet on Sunday morning in Drinking Bros Sports, I'm just gonna write Skull at the top of it. And I'll go hard on this game.
I think we should find a Norwegian dude and rape him.
Is there one? Yeah. Is there one out there? Well, in the technically, parking lot?
Well, I'm not Norwegian. I'm Danish. But either way,
all right,
figure it out.
If you want to get raped, I'm down.
Yeah.
Next up, Eagles at the Giants. This is Philly -3. The disrespect.
This should be Philly -9.
Yes, I was just going to say that.
But this is probably right.
Yeah,
because they're not well coached.
Who do you got? Well, actually, Delco, let's start with you. Who do you have? This is your team.
Yeah, I'm not feeling great about it, but, you know, Saquon's going back to New York. Yeah, Saquon will probably torch him a little bit. AJ Brown's back. Smith's there.
Smith is back from the concussion. Okay. Yeah.
And AJ Brown looked good last week.
I just set my fantasy lineup, and he's healthy. He's going to play. I've got Saquon. I'm going to knock this down a half a point and give me Eagles -2.5.
Well, there's a bunch of talk this week about how Jalen Hurts is not being used in the appropriate way by the Eagles right now. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
No. The Eagles have always needed a quarterback, and I've said that since day one. Now everybody's coming on board now. There's plenty of room on the bandwagon. You guys can hop on.
You weren't wrong. You were early.
Yeah, I was right all the way around. So not sure, because you can't.
Well, if that's the case,
if you're a top 15 quarterback, which he is.
Yeah.
There's nobody in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
You're riding with this for at least two years.
So then why not use him to the best of his abilities, right? Let him run the fucking ball. If he gets hurt, he gets hurt, man. You know what I mean? Like Jalen Hurts is not going to be 35 in the league with two Super Bowl championships, probably, right?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Daniel Jones. I agree, though.
No, fuck Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones, he'll be out of the NFL in two years.
He hasn't been bad, actually.
No.
He's been fine.
He'll be out of the NFL in 2 years, probably, right? Because nobody's going to... I mean, either that Daniel or he'll Jones? Be on some much smaller contract, yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to be a backup for the next 10 years.
Yes.
Maybe.
He'll be the next Cliff Jesus.
If you open up starting for that long and then get an extension and then go to backup after that. I mean, who's done that? Maybe Flacco didn't even start out of the gate. I don't know.
There's guys that do that. Like Blaine Gabbert's a perfect example. High, like top 10 drafted quarterback.
Yeah, but Blaine Gabbert never got like a fucking gajillion-dollar contract either.
Yeah, he never got the big boy money.
To be honest, I think Jones would retire. After fucking making $200 million, why would you fucking stand around with a clipboard for $6 million a year? Who cares?
You know, it's...
Maybe he just wants to be part of the game, but go coach or something else.
He's young, dude. So, like, what do you do the rest of your
life? Yeah, I don't know. As far as Hurts goes, play him to his strengths. If he gets hurt, he gets hurt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I would have that conversation with him. Like, hey, dude, look. Like, we don't want you to get banged up, but we want to succeed as well.
Win.
Like, our best chance of success is somewhere in between you getting possibly injured and then running those plays. It's in that fucking that gap right there. So I think we need to do that. It's working for Allen right now.
Yeah.
right? They were running him too much, and they drew him back a little bit, and it's working for Lamar. He wasn't running enough because he wanted to pocket pass. Now they're using it like in a much smarter way than they were before. I think the Eagles got to do something, man. Jesus Christ.
I think they'll win this game, though, and I'll have a lot of money on this.
I'm not betting this.
A 2.5, I am.
I think they could lose this game, to be honest, although I do think Barkley's going to have
Barkley's going to go off. Next up, you got two teams who have just given up on life, Raiders, Rams. It's Rams -7. In my opinion, if you're betting this, you're a fucking loser. That's just some junky shit that I don't get involved in. And luckily, we don't have to on this show because we're not contractually obligated to pick. I know you guys are listening and taking these bets seriously. That's why I don't do it. I'm not going to fucking waste your time with
what
this bullshit.
What if Tom Brady shows up and fucking dressed out?
It'd be the best.
Can you imagine? Because he always wanted to play for the Raiders.
Yeah.
He always wanted to play for them. That would be fucking so funny. He's like 48 years old or some shit.
Be fucking great. Next up, you got Panthers at the Redskins. Redskins -8. God, that's a lot of points, man, for a rookie quarterback.
I'll take that.
Are you?
The Panthers have the worst defense.
I know they're
in the league.
Terrible. They're absolutely terrible. But 8, so much in the NFL right now.
Mm-hmm. This is one of those times where it's okay, I believe.
Okay. Is it still Andy Dalton? He's still in there for the Panthers, right? Oof.
Yeah.
God damn it, man. Give me the +8 for the Panthers, dude. It's just so many points. So many fucking points there. The Redskins will win this game, but that 8, I think, is what's going to get me. Next up, we got Chiefs at the 49ers. Let's go. This is Niners -1.5. Chiefs are coming off a bye week. I'm surprised by this. Who you got?
This is probably right, actually.
You think this is a one-point game?
Mm-hmm. I think it's a one-possession game for sure.
Okay. It's the afternoon game. This is going to be fun, man. I like it.
I mean, In your brain, you're like, the Chiefs have to lose eventually, right?
Yeah.
And this makes sense on the road at the best team in the NFC right now?
Lions are still probably ahead of them.
Maybe the third best if you believe that Minnesota's success is real.
I do not. Right? I'll put the 49ers at 2.
The Lions are definitely up there, I would say, probably. The 49ers have just had injuries.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the constitution of their team, though. This is the best game of the week, for sure.
And Mason's got over 600 yards rushing. That's nuts to me.
I guess I'll probably take Chiefs money line because that's probably where the best value is for this, if you can find any at all.
Yeah.
Because it's so close, it's going to be hard to find any value. But I'll take Chiefs money line.
And I think the Chiefs, I'm with you. I think the Chiefs eke it out on a last-second field goal by Butker from 55.
Yeah. -1.5, though, is going to be like...
It doesn't do you any good.
It'll be -110 or something like that.
It doesn't do you any good. Take the fucking money line. Yeah. And only because they're on a bye. The biggest complaint of the Chiefs is they look tired from fucking partying and winning too many Super Bowls and Travis Kelce traveling around the world. So, yeah, at least he's got a week of rest. So give me the Chiefs in this one. And then this game is a lot more fun now than it was last week because Devontae Adams is there. So you got the Jets at the Steelers. This is Jets -2.5. And we don't know who the starting quarterback is for the Steelers.
Yeah, we do.
You think it's Russ Wilson?
No. No, they're just fucking around. But
if they fucking start him, dude.
Even if you were going to bring Russ back and make him the starter, you wouldn't do it in his first game against the fucking Jets with that defense.
He
would get crushed. You got to give a guy time to get into rhythm and stuff. To be honest, the under looks very attractive here at 38.5.
38.5?
Yeah.
I'm going to roll.
I think this is like a 17-10 game or some shit like that.
I'm going to roll with the Jets, dude. I think with Devontae Adams out there, and he's been resting for 4 weeks. He's not injured. I think they pull this off. I'm not also a big fan of starting turmoil in your locker room by even injecting that Russell Wilson bullshit into the conversation at 4-2. And swapping them out week 7 doesn't make a lot of sense. So give me the Jets in this one, and I'm going to ride with that. Monday nights. Okay, so there is another doubleheader. They just added 6 of these to the slate for the rest of the year because the NFL can, I guess. I thought these were set in stone, but no, here we are. So you're getting doubleheaders. The other thing that they announced is they're going to buy out ABC's Monday night programming for the rest of the season. So not only are you going to get ESPN, but you're also going to get ABC for these games. And the first one is on ESPN. This is Ravens at Buccaneers. This is Baltimore minus 3.5. Who you got?
Man, this is a good fucking game, too. Shit. I love that over 49.5. This is going to be a game, but 3.5 is too much for this game. I probably won't bet this.
Okay.
I'm going to enjoy this game. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
And enjoy it. I think it's probably a 3-point game, and I don't want to buy a full point. It costs too much now.
It does. Nowadays, Jesus Christ.
Maybe I throw this in a teaser. Maybe I'll do a Monday teaser. What's next? Chargers, Cardinals, and it's Chargers minus 3.
I don't like that game at all.
Well, I'll go. I'm going to do a teaser of. Of over 43.5 for the first game, and then over or under 49.5 in the second one. That's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
That'll make it fun for me.
That is fun. So here's, I'll join you in this. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to jack up the under on the Chargers game. To 49.5. And then I never have a problem crossing the zero. People bitch at me all the time for it. I'm going to go the other way and get Baltimore plus 3.5 there. And I think it's a close game, and I think it's a field goal, but ultimately I think Baltimore pulls this out. And that way I can watch both games in the double-decker, dude, on YouTube TV. And enjoy my life. We got playoff baseball on right now.
Oh, yeah. By the way,
it's the perfect time of year.
YouTube TV has figured it out better than anybody
I've
ever seen.
Oh, my God, dude. I watched the Yankees game the other night.
There's
picture in picture with the football game with the Jets.
There was the Sunday or Monday nights when there's two football games on, and then there's baseball as well. You can watch two baseball games and two football games at the same time.
It's fucking amazing.
No platform has ever allowed that before.
Nope. And it's fucking dope. Fun as shit.
I hate to give them credit for anything.
Same,
but they
because
really
they're not a fucking sponsor. And Google throttles the communists, shit out of us. So, yeah.
But either way, they did it best.
Man, yeah. And that was the only thing that's made that other Jets-Bills game remotely watchable was I had the Yankees game right next to it. So I was like, all right, cool. Fuck it. Let's fucking roll. Bet with us or against us on mybookie.com. Don't forget to use the promo code Drinking Bros to double that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Flip on over to Patreon. We'll be live with Uncle Laser here in 5 minutes. Go to iTunes, rate the show a 5-star, and leave a quick review. Also, head on over to Spotify. It's just a 5-star, and you can walk away. For D'Anthony to Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Week 7 NFL Prediction Show. Good night, everyone.